From meager beginnings as an adolescent ambulance washer in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, to a decade-long legacy of bringing you breaking news before it makes the news, broadcasting live from the studios of Scared Monkeys Radio Network via C-band satellite W3-957, Access Communications Channel 7, and worldwide via digital streaming audio at ScaredMonkeysRadio.com, it's the Dana Pretzer Show. And now, your host, Dana Pretzer.
Okay, good evening, everyone. The Jennifer Kessie Beacon of Hope for the Missing Safety Community event will be held Saturday, January 23rd, 2010, at the Mall at Millennia, of course, in Orlando. Check out the link, the poster that we have at scaredmonkeys.com, or, of course, go to www.findjenniferkessie.com to learn more about this disappearance of this young lady. We've been talking about this for a long time on the program now, and we'll continue talking about it until this family gets some answers. It's always nice to have Drew Kessie, Jennifer's dad, on the air with me. Hi, Drew.
Good evening, Dana. Thank you once again.
Welcome back to the program. I've always said to you that eventually I wanted to have you and Jennifer on the program. It's been, what, 4 years now? That's just too long.
It will be 4 years, but hopefully willing.
Yes.
Maybe we'll share that conversation one day.
Absolutely. I still hope for that. Now, another thing beside the, and we've talked about the Beacon of Hope for the Missing, the events that you have, all sorts of things going on there, personal safety information, search and rescue teams with full equipment, crime line, Bikers Against Child Abuse, there'll be free fingerprinting. And just how important is that fingerprinting? Most people don't think about that. You and I do, Drew, but most people don't think about it, and it's huge.
It is huge, and it's such a simple thing to do because you really only have to do it once to get a fingerprint for a child and then maybe one more time as they grow older. But it is there for immediate use for a parent. And one thing we want to make very clear is, you know, when you get your fingerprints done at our events, you get a card, an ID card, you take it, the parent takes it or the guardian takes it. We do nothing else. That's all we do. It doesn't go into databases or anything like that. Some people ask that.
Right.
It's strictly for in case of.
Yep. And it's an identification, way of identifying, and one of the best ways next to DNA, of course. Your daughter's been
missing. We're going to offer that there too, Dana.
Yeah, and great. And that's the way things should be. God, if we'd had DNA years ago, Drew, in many cases, of course, we talk about it now, and it's solving a lot of cases. And we'll get into that in a little bit. But I want to also bring up, and again, I encourage everyone to go to Find Jennifer Kessie. Kessie is spelled KESSE.com. So FindJenniferKessie.com to learn more about Jennifer's disappearance. And there's now up to a $1 million reward for Jennifer's safe return. That expires February 24th, 2010. Tell us about the reward, Drew.
Well, you know, Dana, when we look at things over the course of 4 years and where the investigation has gone and where it's headed, we can unfortunately still stand at Jennifer's front door and not know if she went left, right, straight, up, or down.
Yep.
And that's very discouraging, especially having almost 1,300 leads that come in, and they do continue to come in probably every other day. In fact, since the $1 million, the family tip line's had, I think, 16 or 18 tips on it since the new reward came out just there.
Right.
But, you know, it's something that everywhere we turn, we're just not looking at trafficking aspect. And everywhere we turn when we talk to, you know, just people in the business, so to say, they look at Jennifer's case and they're like, you know, there's a very good chance that she could be. So with everything that we do, and there's been an incredible amount of searches for Jennifer, I mean, people don't really understand how many searches there are that people, you know, it's just quiet and it's done. I don't think Jennifer's in Orlando unless something, you know, she may have been poured into a foundation very quickly around the buildings that they were building or what have you. But outside of that, you know, you have two people, someone who dropped her car off and Jennifer disappear. Nothing used, nothing found to this day, nothing. I mean, two people just simply disappear.
Yeah.
It lends logic to say, why don't we look at trafficking?
Okay.
And trafficking is a huge business. It's an $18 billion a year business, and it needs to be sought out.
Absolutely. Human trafficking, something we've covered on the show many times, is a big problem. And what we do, Drew, and I know families like yours and many, many others that I've interviewed on this program, is you never give up hope, because there's always that miracle out there. And anyone that has information on the disappearance of Jennifer Kessie, again, go to the website, find jenniferkessie.com, or call the tip line, 407-722-2162. That's 407-722-2162. And, you know, call a lawyer, the police, or the family tip line that I've just given you. Some people are so afraid to get involved, Drew, and we've talked about that before. If they don't want to call the police, there's other ways of handling this, correct?
Absolutely. You can call an attorney. A lot of people depend on their clergy.
Yeah.
You know, you can call a media outlet and be totally anonymous.
Yep.
Believe me, media outlets will take leads and look at them and then pass them along, too. Anyone you trust, honestly, anyone you trust to get the information. We don't have to know who you are. We just need the information for Jennifer's sake. No one else's, but for Jennifer's sake.
I have a huge amount of respect for victims and families of victims of crime, and not only in my profession, besides what I do here talking on the radio. The strength is always amazing, Drew, and you and your wife, I have a huge amount of respect for your whole family. I always feel so dopey asking this question, Drew, but we just went through the holidays again, and it's hugely difficult, I'm sure. When that smiling face I'm looking at right now, and for those of you watching on Channel 7, you'll see that picture, the reward picture, beautiful young girl like this. How difficult was Christmas?
Yeah. We cried.
Yeah.
We sat and we cried as a family. I have to be honest with you with that. We brought out 4 stockings,
yep,
each with our name on it.
Absolutely.
And we cried.
Yep.
Then after we had our moments, we remember good times, and we'll always remember good times as well as the not-so-good times with Jennifer that, you know, every family has. And just all of what we've been able to love and gain from her so far, and we don't think it's done.
No.
We don't think it will ever be done. Even if, you know, Jennifer is no longer with us, the effect of her goes far beyond just herself and what she is or was.
Yeah, we'll get into that in a minute. Drew Kessie is here talking about the disappearance of his daughter, Jennifer. Again, the website, and I'm going to say it 100 times tonight because I want you to go there, www.findjenniferkessie.com, or just click on the link in the show notes. And the Jennifer Kessie Beacon of Hope for the Missing Safety and Community event will be held Saturday, January 23rd, 2010, at the Mall at Millennia, of course, in the Orlando jurisdiction, and there's all sorts of good stuff that's going on there. Tell us more about that, Drew, the Jennifer Kessie Beacon of Hope for the Missing.
Sure. Unfortunately, this is the 4th year that we're doing this,
yeah,
and it is right across the street from where Jennifer was abducted, where her condominium is. But so many, we find it almost, we have to give back to the community. That's how much the community has given to Jennifer and our family. And we choose to do so through safety events and community building events. So this year, you know, just to run down the list real quick, we are going to have, obviously, the Jennifer Kessie. We're going to have out a very good number of volunteer-certified search and rescue teams. The volunteers, the people that are out there on the front lines with police a lot of times, doing the searches, and they do it all on their own time and their own money. Victim advocates associations, we're going to obviously be doing the fingerprinting, as we do, of all ages. We do not care. Everyone is someone's child.
Right.
We're going to have Stop Trafficking Now org out with us, the CART team, the Child Abduction Response Team from the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. We'll have free face painting for the kids, a free blood pressure check for anyone who wishes to, a lot of personal safety, just some good information to have about basically what's going on around you. We'll have a martial arts school out there. BACA, the Bikers Against Child Abuse, will be out there. Crime Line will be out there with us. The Neighborhood Watch Program will be out. Victim Service Center will be out there. And this year, you know, believe it or not, Dana, it's very cold in Florida, and it has been for a long time. And we are going to be collecting a few things for the homeless and the shelters, blankets, any dry goods, if you wish to bring them, as well as used cell phones. The battered women's shelter used them for 911 services, and we like to donate that. And, of course, the Bloodmobile will be out with us once again. The fire truck will be there, dogs, boats, just anything you can think about bringing this community together and let them know that if one of their loved ones go missing, this is what is offered and is available immediately.
You know, and educating the public, working together as a team, as a family, I guess almost, Drew, to educate people. We've talked about so many different organizations, but one of the top ones, and I know you've worked with them and talked to them, and because it's a lot to do with legislation and the law and how things are enforced and looked after, whether it's a sex offender registry to lenient sentences in court to, well, you name it, is the government. How's the government responding to your cause?
Actually, we've been able to make a lot of inroads in our state. We've passed three laws in the last two sessions, or helped pass three laws in the last two sessions, and we're going after a fourth one this year that we feel will go through. It has to deal with threats. Believe it or not, in the state of Florida, you can almost do anything you want online, yeah, in a chat room, on text, in an email, short of telling someone you're going to kill them. And it does not matter. And we're changing that law because of, honestly, our family has been threatened even after Jennifer, and it's something I really don't want to go into, but
sure,
it's happened,
yeah,
a few times. So we're changing that. But last year we changed the DNA law in Florida. Starting this year, we're going to be collecting DNA from every felon that is arrested instead of upon conviction.
Good.
And that is huge, as well as the missing, you know, the Jennifer Kesey, Tiffany Sessions Missing Persons Act. And I forgot the Sober Alert Act that we had enacted, too.
Drew Kesey is here and talking about his daughter, Jennifer, has been missing almost 4 years now. Again, go to the website at www.findjenniferkesey.com. Drew, when it comes to this and what we see in the media, many different cases, high-profile cases, just a small, minute amount get coverage. But there's this tragedy of all of those missing, whether it's human trafficking or a parental abduction or whatever, and you talked about it with the cyber issue right now, with the Internet and Blackberries and email and texting and all this sort of stuff. There are so many signs out there of a potential problem that I think families should be educated somewhat on. And if you see a sign with your family member or a family member that has disappeared and the police officer comes to you and says, can you tell us anything about your son or your daughter or your loved one or your friend? Has anything strange been going on? A lot of people will sit back and they don't want to say anything because they're not sure. Let's talk about some tips on, God forbid, if something does happen, what the police should know and what you should tell them.
Sure, absolutely. And you know, this is so important, actually, Dana, because time, number one, is of the essence. When we're dealing with children, which is most of the missing in America, you have approximately 3 hours. 85% of all true child abductions in America, the child is killed within 3 hours. So time is of the essence. Number two, whether you have problems in your family, whether the child is having or the adult is having problems, it really does not matter. You have to make the call, you have to make the report, and you have to find your loved one. It's the only way you're going to be able to help them if something is wrong. You know, I do want everyone to know, in Jennifer's case, we're talking about true abduction. Someone has taken her against her will, and we don't know why whatsoever, and we don't know where. But in general, You know, most of the missing children. Honestly, it begins at home, Dana.
Yeah.
It's all about your upbringing. And, you know, we do need a lot of guidance in life, and we do need a lot of discipline as young children. So we learn proper the difference between right and wrong. And we need civics back in our schools. I mean, there's so much. Sometimes it blows my mind. There's so much involved in it, and it's such a big problem. But yet it's so simple. So if we can start at our young age and be parents to our children, not friends, but parents to our children,
yep,
and teach them the right things, maybe we'll have a better chance. You know, we're never going to stop crime. Crime's always been there. But we can start to turn the tide, and we have to, because it's going the wrong way in America.
That's for sure. The Jennifer Kessy Beacon of Hope for the Missing, Saturday, January 23rd, 2010, at the Mullet Millennium. More information at findjenniferkessy.com. Of course, there's up to a $1 million reward for Jennifer Kessy's safe return. Thank you, Drew, and keep me informed. You know I'm thinking about you.
Absolutely. We thank you and all the monkeys so much. You folks do more than you can ever know, and you have supported us incredibly. We are genuinely humbled by it.
Okay, Drew. Take care, my friend.
Thank you, Dana.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. That's Drew Kessy, and you know, just think about it. You have a missing loved one. I'd hang that stocking too. I'd be crying my eyes out too. It's human life. It's real life, my friend. It's not Hollywood. This is what that man is going through, and his family's going through. One of the strongest, nicest people I've ever had the privilege to speak to on the radio. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back here with Clint Van Zandt. You know, Clint is a former FBI agent, hostage negotiator, safety expert. We're going to talk about Homeland Security. There's another shooting today in Georgia. You name it, the world seems to be going to hell. And we're going to report about it here on Scared Monkeys Radio. We'll be right back. Okay, you know, it's just another day in America, in the world. All of a sudden, we have another shooting in Georgia at a trucking company. We have the underwear bomber, or whatever you call them. I don't know. To talk about that and many other things, of course, is my security expert, Clint Van Zandt. You'll know him as a retired FBI agent, hostage negotiator, profiler, security expert. Go to his website at livesecure.org. You can see Clint a lot on MSNBC and NBC. Happy New Year, my friend.
Hey, same to you, my friend. Thank you. Good to be with you.
Welcome back to the program. Another shooting in Georgia today. Let's talk about that.
Well, you know, violence in a workplace, unfortunately, you know, there's a old statement, ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny. Basically, we see the same thing over and over again. And in the workplace, at least in the States, we see that over and over again. Dana, there are, sometimes I think there are very few true original thinkers, you know, Einstein and a few others in the world, but otherwise people just copy behavior that they've already seen. When they're confronted with some type of challenge or issue, they don't know what to do about it, and then they see how someone else has responded. And unfortunately, it's in the positive as well as the negative. And in the case of violence in a workplace, many times we see a disgruntled employee, someone who's unhappy, who doesn't like the conditions, feel they got screwed on the job, whatever it is. Well, instead of trying to work it out, or instead of quitting, or instead of just crawling in the back of his car and stuffing the hose from the exhaust into the back window and just ending his life, he feels he has to go into the workplace and punish. And many times, Dana, they're punishing, they're shooting, they're killing people who had nothing whatsoever to do. They become, you know, as we say, targets of opportunity, because they simply represent something that this person doesn't have, which is job satisfaction or happiness. And so many times these end with a homicide, suicide. In this particular case, as you know, the shooter in Georgia, I believe, was captured.
Yep.
But this was someone, again, who was, you know, he dresses in camouflage clothing. I mean, you know, this is somebody, you know, another wannabe, probably never had been in the military, maybe a hunter, maybe not. But we find these guys, Dana, psychologically, they'll sit there at night, they'll think about what they're doing, they'll clean their weapons, they'll have certain clothing they want to wear, because in their mind, they're going to war, they're going to battle, but they're going to battle with people who don't have weapons to fight back.
You know, and that's a good point, and we'll get into more of this in a second. And it happens every time that there's a workplace shooting or school shooting or something. I start getting the emails. I get them from the gun lobbyists who say that if we'd armed everyone, this wouldn't have happened. And then I get them from the anti-gun people saying that if we banned all guns like England, this wouldn't have happened. But reality, though, Clint, is that this is going to happen. You know, it happens overseas. It happens here. I want to talk about the how you prepare for this. Of course, you always expect the unexpected as a law enforcement officer or any sort of emergency services, but all of a sudden you get a call and you're going to a school or you're going to a workplace and there's somebody in camouflage gear with automatic weapons. That's got to be the, Fort Hood is a good example of
it.
How do you react? How should you react as a law enforcement officer?
Well, you know, Dana, this is something that has changed drastically since the school shooting at Columbine High School in Colorado here in the United States. Up until that time, and, you know, as an FBI agent, as a hostage negotiator, I mean, I used to deploy with the FBI's hostage rescue team, and I taught SWAT. So, I mean, I was fully comfortable with what SWAT teams did. And up until that time, the game plan for SWAT teams was you get on the scene, you get the truck, you get the weapons, you get your uniforms on, you get the lay of the land, you come up with two quick plans, you have an emergency response plan if you have to do it right then and there, or you have a dedicated assault plan if you can do it on your own time. That's how you're going to go in and take the building back and take down the bad guy. And SWAT teams somehow, you know, they believed, and we taught them that you had the time. You had to take the time to get ready because you didn't want to go in helter-skelter. Well, what we found out was while we were waiting, while we were planning, while we were sharpening our knives and loading our magazines, there were people dying, as, again, in the case of Columbine High. And I think that brought about what's known across the world now as the active shooter program, where most of us know to get a SWAT team on scene, that can take a half an hour, that can take an hour, but the first responding officers, in my case, FBI agents, police officers, FBI agents, the uniform guys, the detectives who are driving, they're the first responders. They're the ones to get on the scene. And Dana, what we do now is we get the first two or three officers, you go in with handguns, hopefully a shotgun or a rifle, but you have to get in that building, you have to penetrate, you have to keep moving. You can't stop and deal with the wounded because you have to get to the shooter and you have to put that shooter down. Otherwise, people continue to die. And that's the way we're training police departments in the United States now for that type of response. SWAT is great. It's got a wonderful place in this country. But most officers know by the time SWAT gets there, a situation like this, a violence in a workplace situation, is by and large over with. So those first responding officers, they have to be geared up anything from a routine traffic stop, as you suggest, to going up against somebody with body armor, an automatic weapon, who's there to kill as many people as he can and then to die.
Clint Van Zandt is here, and his website, livesecure.org, make sure and check it out. Lots of interesting information there. Clint, over the new year, of course, Christmas Day, we had the underwear bomber or fancy pants bomber. I hate when the media starts giving these guys
monikers, right?
Yeah, names. Yeah, that's it. And then what now? It's turned political. It's turned into a well. This guy did this. This guy didn't do that. We have the breaking news. All of a sudden, there's some jerk on a plane that's had too many little mini bottles of scotch, and he all of a sudden starts mouthing off, and that's becoming a national security issue or a transport safety issue. There's a big difference in the both. There's Al Qaeda who wants us to all die. And then there's just jerks out there. Let's talk about this underwear bomber first and where the mistakes were made.
Well, you know, we've got two levels of mistakes, Dana. I think, number one, it's people simply not doing their job.
Yep.
And then, number two, there's this overriding umbrella of political correctness. You know, Dana, you know, in the United States, we have this concept that, in most of the world, Canada, other places, too, that justice should be blind, i.e. it should be for everybody. Well, Dana, justice should be blind, but it shouldn't be deaf, dumb, and stupid. And we know where the threats lie. We know how to deal with those type of threats. But when our level of political correctness says we don't want to single out certain types of people for extra scrutiny because we don't want to offend anybody. Dana, there were 300 people on that flight coming into Detroit, 300 people that had done nothing wrong, 300 people. There were Christians, there were agnostics, there were atheists, there were Muslims on board. They covered all faiths, they covered all religions, they probably covered all racial groups. And we had one individual under the control of Al-Qaeda who was going to kill men, women, children. He didn't care who they are. And Dana, what that represents, what we've missed, I think, too, is a new level of threat. We dealt with before terrorists who wanted to blow up a plane, but they wanted to blow it up over the ocean so the evidence would be lost, so the tragedy wouldn't be seen. Well, I think terrorists have learned what they have known for thousands of years anyway, that part of terrorism is it's a staged event. And in the case of this flight coming into Detroit, I think this individual was going to blow it up at that last moment, Dana, because he wanted to blow. Now realize the explosive device he had would have had the explosive of about the equivalent to a hand grenade.
Mm-hmm.
Had that penetrated, and of course he was sitting above a fuel tank, so had that penetrated into the wing, into the fumes that were there, it would have blown that plane up in midair, and Dana, we would have rained burning fuel, burning pieces of airplane, and burning pieces of human beings all over downtown Detroit as that plane was coming in. That's a new level of terror. So it's no longer just this plane that went down over the ocean someplace, and unless you knew somebody on it, you didn't care. Now an entire city would become victim to something like this. And I think that we really have to be aware that there are individuals sitting around campfires in Iraq and Iran and Afghanistan that are coming up with new ideas like this. And we're always one step behind. And until we have the fortitude to say we're going to put political correctness on a shelf, we're going to make sure everybody does their job, we understand what the threats are, and we're going to get out in front of this threat, we're going to think ahead of the terrorist instead of behind them. Until we do that, Dana, we are going to get beat and we are going to lose in these situations. A situation like on Christmas Day, I mean, that wasn't resolved by FBI or CIA or Interpol or anybody who should have done their job. It was basically resolved by a couple of passengers seeing a threat and making a decision since 9/11 they weren't going to sit there like sheep. They were going to do something about it. And if it wouldn't have been for those passengers, and if it wouldn't have been for a lousy bomb builder who sewed that into that guy's underwear, we would have seen that horrific event. But I guarantee you, that was the second. We had a trial run in Somalia about 2 months previous to that where an individual tried to get on board an aircraft with a similar type of device. Now we had somebody who got on and who used it. And Dana, this is something that by and large can't be seen by x-rays. Where he had it, it was there to simulate a sexual organ on the part of this man, where even if you did a body search, you wouldn't necessarily know it was there. I mean, they have developed new ways that defeat metal detectors. It probably would defeat body scanning type of devices that we're going to do here. We're spending millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars, while the terrorists are spending 10, 20, 50 bucks to come up with a device that defeats everything that we put in place.
Yeah, well said. Clint Van Sant is here. You know the old saying, Clint, be alert, be vigilant. You had a couple of airline passengers that were. You had some staff that weren't. Let's talk about the CIA bomber. They like to build a trust. They'll work as an informant for a little while, and so they can get on the inside. We see that. We see these people walking around airports, getting through across security, you name it, and we just have lazy employees, I guess, or not alert and not vigilant, folks out there in the terrace are just planning to get us again. It's going to happen again, sadly.
It's going to happen again. I guess to cut some people some slack, you know, you can't be vigilant 24 hours a day.
No.
You can't lean forward in the saddle all the time. Otherwise, you fall off your horse. And yet, that's really what it takes in situations like this. Now, for example, the CIA bomber, that CIA got beat on a number of levels. Number one is that the CIA's challenge has been for years that trying to recruit someone outside and send them intel inside of Al-Qaeda. Dana, that just doesn't work. Al-Qaeda is such a compartmentalized, tight organization that you don't create an informant on the outside and run him into Al-Qaeda and have him function. You have to find somebody within that group and recruit, flip them to bring them on board. Number two, this guy, this doctor, this 32-year-old doctor who was the bomber, he had been in a Jordanian jail and then released. Al-Qaeda never takes anyone as a new recruit who's been in jail. They assume somebody who's been in jail has probably been flipped, has probably been compromised already. So when the CIA tried to run this guy against Al-Qaeda, they just flipped him the other way. They made him a double agent and sent him back in. But again, we were trying to be nice to this guy, and we were trying to win him over, and when we should have said, our standing policy, just like you and I, Dana, when I was an FBI agent, you as a police officer, if I arrested somebody, they had on handcuffs, you know. Yep. Man, woman, whatever it is, you're cuffed behind your back. It's not like, gee, I'm sorry, this is a terrible thing, man, it happened to you. It's like my procedures are, if I arrest you, I cuff you, and that's across the board for everybody. The CIA let this guy come into their compound, and they didn't search him because they were trying to create this positive air with this guy. Well, instead of air, there was an error that took place, a deadly error. Had they searched the guy, he might have blown himself up outside. He probably would have. But he wouldn't have gotten in. He wouldn't have got to the station chief and all the other agents there. So, again, critical errors in thinking and philosophy. And it's just so hard to run an intelligence operation against this group that, I mean, it's interesting. It's so easy for them to run it up against us. They're doubling over Iraqi police officers and Pakistanis against us all the time. But we don't seem to be able to run that the other direction.
We're trying so hard not to offend, and they're trying so hard to get on the stage by walking in and doing what they can and making sure that they get the exposure, because they no longer want to hide the fact that they want to kill Americans, Canadians, whoever. They just want to do it. And I guess let's finish up, Clint, with the government's decision to try the 9/11 conspiracy in New York. I think it's absolutely insane. One of the biggest.
I agree with you. If you're a Canadian citizen, you have a right to the laws of Canada. If you're a U.S. citizen, you have the right to the laws of the United States. But to take an enemy combatant who wages war against you, who has no affiliation with your country whatsoever, and say, we are going to afford you all the rights, all the privileges of a citizen, as opposed to take them over to Guantanamo, try them in a military tribunal, give them legal representation, and lock them up for life. But, it makes a farce. It makes us a laughingstock. And I know there are those who will say, well, the United States is strong enough. This shows the strength of the West, of the free world, to do something like this. We don't look any weaker if we try them as what they are, enemy combatants. Don't give them the rights of citizens, and don't let them make a mockery of our criminal justice system. And, Dana, this is going to be a massive security problem. The streets between the tombs where they have this guy locked up and bringing him to the federal courtroom, those streets are narrow. It's going to be a tremendous security problem. It's going to be a tremendous expense to the country to do something like this. I think it's one of the dumber things I've heard of in the last few years.
Absolutely, and a total slap in the face to anyone who is a victim of 9/11.
Absolutely.
In my opinion. Clint Van Sant, his website, www.livesecure.org. Thank you, my friend. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
Okay, buddy. Bye. That's Clint Van Sant, and when there are these situations, whether it's a workplace shooting, a terrorist attack, hostage taking, cult, Koresh, Jones, you name it, Clint is the guy to go to, and I really encourage you to check out the website at www.livesecure.org. He has some free stuff up there. There are tips for those of you who have safety issues. And the be alert, be vigilant. Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that people don't make mistakes. I'll never forget I think it was in Philadelphia, the famous video clip of a police officer looking for two lost children. And the police officer walks by this car and looks inside the car, looks underneath the car, stands there, and I think maybe, and I can't speak for this officer, that the spider sense said, I wonder what's in the trunk. Ah, can't be anything. And that officer walked away. Well, those two little kids had been playing in the car in the trunk, and the trunk lid came down, and they found out later that there's maybe even a good possibility that those kids were still alive in that vehicle when that police officer walked by. Human error? Absolutely. Was there any intent? No, of course not. I challenge any one of you to do what men and women do in law enforcement, in emergency services, even go out and volunteer to work with Texas EquiSearch or any other search organization, or go to an event like Drew Kesey is sponsoring and help out. Donate. Volunteer your time. There are many, 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 many of you that do, but there's some of you that say, oh, it doesn't affect me, so I won't. So when the crapola hits the fan, to coin a phrase, then you can sit back and say, I understand. Because a lot of people who say they understand don't really. The victim's family, the strength, those that work, even us here at Scared Monkeys, what we do. There isn't a person on Scared Monkeys that doesn't care and doesn't want to do what they can. We're going to take a break here on Scared Monkeys Radio. I remind you that our webpage is www.scaredmonkeysradio.com. There you can listen to the show live. You can pick up podcasts of past shows, listen to the daily commentary, leave comments, whatever. And, of course, the blog site is at www.scaredmonkeys.com. We'll take a break, come back here in a minute with our weekly Nothing But the Sacks segment and former DA Robin Sacks. I'm Dana Pretzer. Nice to be with you. I'll be back in a minute. You know, I was always excited. We were talking about late night TV a little while ago, and I was always excited to see Johnny Carson return from a long vacation. And I'm almost as excited to see Justice Interrupted return from their long vacation. You'll know my next guest, Robin Sacks. Go to her website right now, or she and I will rough you up a little bit. No, I'm just kidding. At www.robinsacks.com. And check out the link, Justice Interrupted. Justice Interrupted returns to the airwaves tonight on Blog Talk Radio. In fact, immediately, as soon as we're done this program. Robin, welcome.
Thank you. God, what a wonderful introduction. You must have had your Wheaties today.
Yeah, I don't know. Cheerios. But anyway, Justice Interrupted, a wonderful idea. It's not your first show, although you've been on hiatus for a little while. It just makes sense because there isn't something out there like that right now. Tell us what Justice Interrupted is all about.
Well, Justice Interrupted is a partnership between Stacey Dietrich, who is the police officer, and myself, the prosecutor, coming to speak about both the known but and particularly the unknown cases where potentially justice is interrupted. We try to maintain our personas and roles as prosecutor and police officer when we dissect cases. Really, it's a place for our big mouths to be able to advocate and allow for us to hopefully make a difference in an impression and effectuate change.
And it gives those that have not had an opportunity to have their case heard or looked at or in some cases even aired and justice has been interrupted, a chance to have that. And Now, the website for the Justice Interrupted website is site is www.justiceinterrupted.com, and a new website too. Tell us about that. You guys have been busy.
Well, we have. We've been busy. Actually, our webmaster has been more busy than we have in terms of redesigning the site. But we have redesigned the site to be able to really hone in on our specialty, which is giving media attention to the cases that so badly need media attention, the cases that are not heard. You know, we really want to be Dana Pretzers. You're really a role model and inspiration to us in terms of what you do here with Scared Monkeys, and Scared Monkeys generally has been doing this for a long time, is giving a place and space for victims to be able to come forward and talk about their cases and get maybe some traction in order to effectuate change. So, you know, we're picking up doing similar stuff to what you're doing, but we would never compete. We would work together as partners in terms of seeing that justice is done. So we welcome any of your guests and listeners to join us, but, you know, if they had to choose between the two of us, we'll let them go to you first.
Well, in this case, literally, they could be listening now, of course, if you're listening live, and then go right over to justiceinterrupted.com and go to the Blog Talk Radio site and listen from there. It's interesting on your website, Robin, it says, on any given day, there are as many as 100,000 active missing person cases in the United States, more than 600 rapes, 30 murders, and more than 13,000 acts of domestic violence against women. We are internationally known crime victim advocates utilizing the power of the media to bring miscarriages of justice the attention they deserve. And one of your guests tonight, Kathy Harper Lee, who I've interviewed on my program several times from the Justice League of Ohio's, is to come on and talk about a certain case, and I'd like you to preview that a little bit.
Well, I'm really, really looking forward to having Kathy. Kathy, as you know, is a well-known advocate and survivor herself, and she has done an amazing job in terms of her mission, which is actually very, very similar to the mission at Justice Interrupted, except that she's a nonprofit charity. And tonight's case that we're going to highlight is the case of Cherish Lewis. And this is a case where there's been physical and sexual abuse. The mother has done, Cherish has done everything that she can to protect her daughter. The mother has done everything from going to law enforcement to contacting the Department of Children and Family Services, to making motions within the court and pleas, frankly, to Judge Crow to consider the physical and sexual abuse that has been affecting her daughter for a period of time. And instead of the judge sympathizing or giving due consideration, he's in fact punished Cherish by holding her in contempt, keeping her in custody until such time that the mom is willing to turn the child over to the abusive father. And this mother, who has been in custody for some time now, I don't know exactly how long, a few months, and Kathy has done an unbelievable job assorting a team of experts from all across the country to make loud noises on this case, to write the judge, and to do everything possible to ensure that justice is done.
Absolutely. It's a case that we've covered here on my program, and Kathy Lee is a great victims advocate, to say the least. I just got a quick email from Drew Kessy, Robin, saying hello to you. And Drew was a guest on the program tonight talking about his daughter, almost 4 years now. It's hard to believe. I can remember interviewing Drew just after Jennifer went missing. And we were talking tonight about the aspect, and you and I have covered it on the program many times, human trafficking, the big problem that it is, and it shows like Justice Interrupted and others that bring attention to that, because a lot of people will say, human trafficking? Is that real?
That's right, and that's exactly correct. I mean, Drew, hello to Drew, and Drew's been an amazing advocate himself on behalf of his daughter, and he's just been an unbelievable source of inspiration for so many other people. And it's exactly these types of situations where people don't believe that the stuff that we see happens actually doesn't. It doesn't just happen in one random case. It happens all over the country, all over the time. And you read the statistics. I mean, there are hundreds of thousands of cases open of missing people, missing persons, and people think, you know, oh, there, if there's a missing person, there must be an Amber Alert, and we've come a long way. Well, maybe we haven't come as long of a way as we think we have.
Robin Sachs is here, and tonight is the debut or the return of Justice Interrupted. Go to the Justice Interrupted website, justiceinterrupted.com, for more information. In fact, it follows immediately after this program on Blog Talk Radio. One of your other guests tonight, Jim Murray, if you turn your TV on, you'll know that name. There's somebody that's been involved in reporting and entertainment, most recently entertainment reporting, for quite some time, and he has an excellent book out.
He does. Jim Murray is an amazing person. I've had the wonderful opportunity to get to know him personally. He is, you know, you look at his book and you go, wow, you know, that is an inspirational title, inspirational purpose. It's called The Last Day of My Life, and he really does ponder the question of what would he do or what would he say if he only had 24 hours to live. He had had a revelation that he thought that his life was, that he would be better off dead, frankly, and with that than he would be alive. And with that thought, he decided, you know what would I do if I only had a day to live? Would I apologize to people who I should have apologized to? Should I forgive the people who have hurt me? Would I find compassion for the people I haven't had compassion for? What types of adventures would I remember? And he really evaluates it in terms of all of the intangibles that are not often associated with financial definition of success. And you know, you look at this and you want us to say, wow, this is, you know, how do you, you don't get much more feel good and inspirational than that. And it's not, you know, BS. This Jim Murray is the real deal. He is been a mentor to me. He's been available to me personally, but he's also makes himself available to a lot of people. He's a wonderful father, and he's a gracious reporter.
Yep.
He's fair. He takes the time and energy to get to people's stories and to get to people's core, to understand the issue. He'll, even if he's an adversary in a situation, he does it in the kindest way that you don't even realize the knife is going in your back as he's doing it. And he's just great, and I'm just honored to have him on our show.
Hey, class act. I saw him interviewed the other day on The Insider, I believe, and I tell you, the hair on the back of my neck stood up when he was telling his story, and I encourage everyone to listen to Justice Interrupted tonight. And two great guests, Kathy Harper Lee and Jim Murray. Robin Sachs is here. We've got about maybe 30 seconds for Robin to get the final word. What's up for you now? Do you ever get a day off?
Oh, come on. You know the answer to that question, Dana. You and I email at 3 in the morning on Sunday nights, talking about what show, what ideas, and that kind of stuff. But you know what? I'm finally in my element. I'm doing what I want to do on the time and terms that I want to do it. And it's always nice to be able to pick the side that you want to be on, pick the cases that you want to put your name on, and effectuate change. And I got to tell you, just as a, and I know I only have 30 seconds, but I'm going to probably blow over a little bit here. I have to tell you, there's nothing more disconcerting than when you sit there and you really feel like you weigh out cases and you listen to cases and you try to be fair, and then you have some Huffington Post blogger who decides that they're going to spend their life ripping you to shreds. And that's what has been going on for me for the last couple of days. I have been spending time with someone by the name of Jeff Norman, who has decided to be a pro-Polanski person and attack me personally and professionally throughout his article. So any of your listeners who are pro-victim, who care to go respond to his Polanski post, it's the one of January 7th, 2009, where he talks about lawyers citing a witness dying as the reason to settle the case. But he really talks about a whole bunch of nonsense, and it's just unbelievable. You kind of go, how can people out there exist like that? And it happens.
Oh, there are many of them out there, that's for sure. And there are also many pretenders that that try to do shows like Robin and Stacey do, and they don't cut the mustard, but these two gals do. It's called Justice Interrupted. It's on immediately following this program. Thank you, ma'am. Good luck with your show this evening.
Thank you so much, and we look forward to poaching you for our show as a guest.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's Robin Sachs, and go to her website at www.robinsachs.com or justiceinterrupted.com. Go over to Blog Talk Radio and check out what's going on there, because it is so important for these sorts of programs to exist. Again, many pretenders out there, many who try, many who fly off the coattails of others, but there are some class acts, and those particular gals are for sure. That's it. That's tonight's show. Check out our webpage at scaredmonkeysradio.com. I'm Dana Pretzer. We'll see you again real soon. Good night.
You've been listening to the Dana Pretzer Show on Scared Monkeys Radio. We invite you to discuss tonight's program with other listeners by joining us at scaredmonkeysradio.com, where you'll find program archives, links to tonight's guest websites, and further information regarding tonight's topics. Scared Monkeys Radio is a production of scaredmonkeys.com. Thanks for listening.